Okay, that's a like funny version. But hey, some of those questions were more important if we were trying to look for a future spouse than others, okay? The color hair, how much hair, that's not necessarily so important. I know when Megan and I started dating that one of the things she was like, oh, I really wanted to marry someone one day who had like facial hair. I'm like, I've got like five, you know, and that's about it. So there are some things that are more important for us when we're looking for someone as a spouse, okay? Some of those things are great add-ons if that person happens to have it, okay? Like, for instance, I play musical instruments. That wasn't a big deal to Megan, okay? It would have been nice if I had facial hair, but I don't, okay? So we can just see that some of those things are like have to have this in common, okay? For instance, you need to agree, and this is, like I said, down the road. I think you would be wise in understanding the maturity level that you are at this stage of life to understand these kinds of, you know, conversations are down the road. But do you want to have kids? Okay. You would be amazed how many people get married and then have the conversation whether or not they want to have kids and realize one does and one doesn't. Okay. For instance, okay, Megan would love to be foster parents, okay? And I would too. That was an important question for us to talk about ahead of time because she knew that that was something in her heart that was very important to her. So that was a conversation we had before we got married. How you pay for things. Do you just put everything on credit cards and then when a credit card gets maxed out, you get another credit card and you put it all on that and then you keep... Or do you go from week to week in your paychecks, or do you save, or what? Those are important things to talk about ahead of time and to have those conversations, because if you don't, then you find out later we have this huge conflict, okay? Megan and I watch totally different Netflix shows, okay? I basically use Netflix to watch The Office because I think that's hilarious, okay? She likes to watch tons of like medical dramas and things like that. She likes to watch, you know, what's going on in this guy's heart. There's some kind of crazy tremor or something. I have no interest in that, okay? But here's, do what? Yeah, High School Musical. Megan loves High School Musical. I have never watched it, and it has been on purpose, okay? Never watched High School Musical. On purpose, all right? My church youth group growing up, I went to almost like every event, and they had a High School Musical watch party when the second or third movie came out, and I purposefully, I like went and hung out with everyone before, and then when the movie came on, I left. So like, I do not like High School Musical. Have reasons, I can talk to you later about it, whatever. But look, those kinds of things are not the thing you want to build a marriage upon, okay? For instance, something for us is I obviously have a huge heart for student ministry. That's why I'm here, okay? It's because I care about you guys. I want you to grow up and be men and women who love the Lord and know how to live as followers of Christ. Megan does too, okay? If Megan didn't care about student ministry at all, that would have been a big red flag for me. Like, no way, that doesn't work out. Even if she wasn't, like, directly involved, which she does during group leading, and she's usually here on Wednesday night, okay, she would need to be supportive of that and be able to aid and help and that kind of thing in a capacity. If she was completely resistant, though, and I know that's one of the things that our pastors ask when they bring on a new pastor is they talk about, okay, your spouse, are they in on the ministry as well? Okay, that's important. You've got to have someone else that you are wanting to build this relationship with who loves the Lord like you do, or maybe even greater, you think, than you do. Because you want someone that you're not trying to drag behind you, you know, come with me, we're going to church kind of thing, and you're having to force them. You want someone that you are running the race, as Paul said, right? Run the race of life with faith, with perseverance. You want someone there who's running with you, not that you're having to try and drag behind you along the way. So that's incredibly important. The questions we ask, we've got to look at who we are and have our own identity established, not in what we look like, who we, you know, whether we have hair, whether we have light or dark skin, all those kinds of things. Those are not the kinds of things we need to find our identity in. We need to find our identity in who God has created us as his worshipers and as his disciples. Second, dating doesn't define who you are. And this goes right off of that. God does, okay? Dating doesn't define who you are. God does. I know in school that a lot of times if you're dating someone who's popular, boom, it makes you popular, okay? But it only does that, yet again, on a very surface level, okay? If you break it off with them, which in 2 weeks we're going to talk about breakups, so that'll be super fun, okay? If you break it off with them, guess what? A lot of times those friends, those people that suddenly you thought liked you and stuff, that they disappear and they fall away because it wasn't friendship. They thought, oh, because you're dating this. Now, that's not how it should be. And that's what we're saying here, is that dating doesn't define who you are, whether you're popular, whether you have worth, whether you are loved or anything like that. God does, because he is the one who has created us. Okay, we're made in his image. Therefore, we have value because God has made us like him in the way that we're able to love and express emotion, in the ways we can use logic, all of these different ideas. I want to show you a picture of something that I think well illustrates this idea. Sometimes when we are really attracted to someone, we can try and force a relationship to be there, even if we don't have these foundational things in place in common. And we're just like, I just want to date this person because it'll be fun. He's cool. She's beautiful, whatever. And you think that it will help to make you look a certain way to others. Okay. What we end up doing is we try to fit a puzzle piece that kind of looks like it could fit, but it doesn't, okay? This puzzle piece does not fit there. Now, it kind of looks like it does because it kind of has some of the same curves. It's got a spot, but that puzzle piece does not go there, okay? We can have someone else that we're interested in that we're like, this girl's really beautiful. This guy is really smart. That's something that, you know, is important to me. And you can have some of those things. We both love The Office. We both love medical dramas, or we both love music, or that's great. Yeah, okay. Those things are fine. But if you do not have these foundational things, if they, check this out, if they are leaning on you to find their identity, that person is not at a mature level and ready to date. There's a lot of people who are trying to date who aren't ready to date, okay? So we've got to think it, and if I asked you, some of you would say, I know I'm not ready to date. And you know what? Those people are probably the most ready to date because they understand that about themselves. Those of you who are like, I can date whoever I want to, I'm ready to date, you probably are not. And if you disagree, you can come and talk with me, and that's fine. I'd love to hear your counter-argument and get to see where you're coming from with that. But here's my thing. You are in 7th or 8th grade. You're 12, 13, 14, hopefully not 15 years old. Okay. Are you planning to date this guy, this girl, from middle school all the way through high school, and then get married after high school? Okay, probably not, especially since both of you are going to change interests and things that you care about, and you're going to learn all kinds of things about who God has made you to be. So where there may seem to be a fit at first, if you would wait and take the time and look, you would probably see that, you know what, we're not exactly a fit. Or maybe it's just, hey, we don't need to try dating at this time, but you guys know how it is. Like, if you've dated someone, then you're like, well, I can never date that person. I mean, that would just be weird to, like, go back. And okay, so if you don't, then later on, that's still an opportunity. You know, maybe that person is not where they need to be in terms of where they're growing and maturing, where they are following the Lord. And I mean, ladies, do y'all want to be the spiritual leaders of your house? You shouldn't want to be. You should want to be the second leader, okay? Your husband is called to be the leader of your house. Guys, you are called to be the leader of your household. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody else is just like pushed down, forget them, anything like that. No, there's a partnership there, okay? The two become one, yes. But if half your body just stopped working and you're trying to drag that along, it's going to feel like this. It's where things are just not quite there. So you've got to be the person that God has called you to be. And we find that the definition of who we are and the value of who we are is found in Christ. Okay, look in your Bible at Psalm 139. We're going to read a couple of verses here, starting at the beginning. He says in verse 1 through 3, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. A lot of times when we are pursuing a relationship with someone, it can be because we're hoping that when we have this relationship, that we will have some need in our life met, whether it's spending time together in having a friendship, whether it's having someone that you know, or whether it's having someone that knows who you are. Let me tell you guys, one of the coolest things that I really appreciated this last week, I was thinking about, we were driving back from Kentucky, and I was thinking about the last year, the different things we've done, and one of the big things was going to Iceland, and that was a dream that I had, you know, and really wanted to go and do one day, and I told Megan about it. And you know what? Megan is the kind of person that believes in someone else's dreams and wants to help them become true, okay? So Megan was like, all right, well, let's see what we have to do that. So we did. We found out. We researched it. And, I mean, she helped me be able to put this together. And I was like, you know what? One of the coolest things is getting to go through life with someone else who believes in me and I believe in them. That's an awesome experience, like having that. But if I was seeking for Megan to fill that in my life, especially when I was dating, I was trying to find someone to fulfill that, like, oh, I need someone else who believes in me, I would get let down. And I would let someone else down if they were looking for that in me. Okay, the reality is that we cannot find that perfectly in another person, another human being. Why? Because we all fail at stuff. Guys, you fail. Sometimes you're a failure, okay? It's okay. It's okay. Sometimes you're a failure, and sometimes I'm a failure, okay? the only one who isn't a failure is the Lord. Now, sometimes we don't get what we want from him, but it's because he has a better plan of what's going on. He is the one, though, as we see in this passage, who knows us in the way that we truly desire to be known. We desire for someone to care about us, to know. I mean, Megan can like anticipate what I'm going to say about something, what I'm going to think about something. I can do the same with her. And that's not just, oh, we've spent a lot of time together. That has something to do with it, okay? But we've been intentional in that relationship as well to get to know not just what each other likes, but how the other person thinks, what the other person cares about. Okay? The Lord is the one, though, who does that perfectly. Look at this passage again. Because the Lord is all-knowing, he knows everything. He writes here that you have searched me, you know when I sit and when I rise. Okay, so when he's talking about every time I sit down, you know about it. Every time I stand up, you know about it. That's how intimately the Lord knows us. And we think that we can just go around life, doing whatever we want to, and then once we walk in those doors, then God's paying attention to us. And then when we walk out, we can do whatever we want to again. Now, you may say, no, I don't. But there's a lot of times where we act in ways that we don't show that we truly believe God knows us that intimately. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. So think about, how does God define you? If your name was in a dictionary and God was going to write the definition, you know, it would be Scott Shepherd, hyphen noun. And then, you know, it would, after that, what would it say? I can tell you some of the things that it would say. It would say unconditionally loved for every single one of us. There is nothing that we can do that God did not send Christ to die for. We're completely, unconditionally loved. When we place our faith in Christ, I mean, he seals us. He's got us in his hand. There's no getting away. He loves us unconditionally. Do what? A sinner? Yeah, originally. But then, like, the great thing is because of that and placing faith in Christ, you repent of sin. We decide we're going to follow him, even though we're a failure sometimes, right? So he loves us unconditionally, though. It's not like as soon as you fail, I don't love you anymore. You've got to go through this whole process all over again. Okay, we are unconditionally loved when we are when we accept that love from the Lord. Okay, next, we're made in his image. Do what? And honored, yes. Okay, let me stop on made in his image. Genesis talks about how God created man. He created everything, right? He speaks it into existence. He says, let there be light. Boom, there's light. It happens. He separates out the water and the land, and he creates the animals, and he creates the plants, and he sets the stars and the moon and all of these different things in place. But he takes the time to form man from the dust and to breathe into him the breath of life. And it says he created him in his own image. When we think of the word image, we tend to think of a picture, right? Like if I was to say, show me an image of a bird, you would get on Google, bird. All right, here you go. Yeah, or show me on your student guide, there's like a tiny little bird or whatever. So you would say that's the image of a bird. But the image of a bird is not the same thing as a bird, right? It's the image of a bird, right? See, the image of the bird has similar attributes to an actual bird. Yes? We would all agree about that? In a similar fashion, we are made in God's image, which means not that we look like God, okay? God, you know, doesn't have two legs and stand up, and he has arms. Maybe he does, but it says the Lord is spirit. So that's a long discussion. But anyway, we have similar attributes that God has, and he's given those things to us in order to display his glory, who he is, to all of creation. Okay, the next thing, like I said, is honored. We are honored in that when we place our faith in Christ, okay, each time I say that, I'm talking about you have given your life over to the Lord, you've turned away from sin, okay, you've placed your faith in Christ, you are then a son or daughter of God. And so with that comes all the honor that comes with it. We are to treat each other understanding that every other believer is a son or daughter of God. And that's incredible for us to think about. You are, check this out, okay, I'm saying you, assuming that you're a believer. If you're not a believer, let's have a discussion. But if you're a believer, guess what? God's the King of Kings, and we are his son or daughter, which makes us what? There you go. No, you're not. No, I know you're not, Micah. All right. So when we want to look for where our identity is, that's what we go to. Who God has defined us as. That he says we are his son and daughter. We are loved by him. We are made in his image. And check this out. Finally, we are worth the ultimate sacrifice. John 3:16, the most well-known verse probably in the Bible. God so loved the world, right? The unconditional love. He so loved us. And that word that's in the New Testament, if I went on YouVersion and I looked up the Greek word for it, Megan has a tattoo of this you may have seen before. It says agape. This is that word that's being used there. It's a word that means unconditional, complete love. Doesn't fail. That's the love in John 3:16. It's not like I love pizza and I love The Office, okay? That love just means I like something. It's nice. I enjoy it, okay? This love is God's unconditional, sacrificial, never-failing love. It says, God so loved us that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, so that or whosoever believes in him shall not perish. God loves us so much he could not stand for us to be separated from him forever without any hope, without any way of redeeming us. So he made the way. Jesus came and was the sacrifice. Sin had to be paid for. We have rebelled against God, and Jesus came to take the punishment that deserved. And that's incredible love. And each and every one of us have that. Each and every one of you guys is loved by God like that, intensely. And so if we are going into the idea of dating, looking for someone else to fill that in our life, and we don't have God filling that in our life, we're setting ourselves up for failure because we all fail, right? And however great that guy or girl may seem, they'll fail at some point. They'll let you down. They'll do something that upsets you. God loves you unconditionally, unfailing, with a sacrificial love, And he says, you are worth that sacrifice. That's a really good discussion to have. We can talk about that. Yeah, that's... I know. Yep. All right, we're going to look at a few more verses in Psalm 139. Let's go to verse 13. Look at what God says here, or David says about God. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth, kind of alluding back to Genesis, like we said. Your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. Check that out, you guys. Do you know that God has been thinking about you before you were born, before you were conceived, before your parents were born, before Jesus came and lived on the earth and died on the cross? God has been thinking about who you are since he began time, space, and matter. Crazy, right? That's incredible. God has been thinking about, man, I can barely think about one thing. Our attention span is like 8 seconds, right? Like less than a goldfish now, I think, is what they said. It's like the average student's attention span is 8 seconds and a goldfish is 9. So, I mean, like, check that out. That's ridiculous. Okay. God's attention span? Well, not my goldfish. I don't know what you're doing with goldfish, but okay. God's attention span has been going all this time, and he is able, I mean, because God is this awesome, he's able to think about you, and 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 you, both of you, okay, every single one of you guys. God has been thinking about you this whole time. He loves you so much. Verse 17, God, how precious your thoughts are to me, how vast their sum is. If I counted them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I wake up, I am still with you. Man, if we could comprehend how much God loves us and cares for us, we wouldn't go into seeking for a dating relationship, looking for that kind of fulfillment, because we would know that that fulfillment is found in God. This can be the difference for you in making wise decisions and making very foolish decisions. Because if you go in with the wrong motivation, you're going to get left down, disappointed, and probably hurt, okay? Now, you may still have some of those things regardless, but you can avoid a lot of it if you have the motivation set right at the beginning. God created us all different. And this is neat too, right? Nobody in here is the exact same. Even if you have an identical twin, you're not the exact same, which is awesome. And God has created us all different on purpose. When we seek to understand how God wired us, we truly come to the point of finding a peace in knowing God made me on purpose. I have value. He loves me unconditionally. And so then you can go into life ready to go. Okay? We don't need a date just because somebody told us to, or it's expected, or you're lonely. My goodness, you guys, I wish. If you've ever felt this way, I'm so sorry. Okay? Loneliness does not need to be the driving factor in seeking for a dating relationship. Okay? One, you need to know Jesus. Okay? But you also need to have friends. Okay? You need, and I'm not trying to be mean about that. I'm saying if you if you act like a lone wolf and you're like, I'm just going to date people and have dating be my relationship where that's what is keeping me not lonely, guess what? That one person, you're going to try to hold on to them so hard, you're going to squeeze them to death, all right? You've got to have friendships. You've got to have other people in your life. What's going on up there? There's a moth. There's a moth. Is it a goldfish? Attention span, 8 seconds. Yes. All right, somebody eat it. All right, point three. Here we go. Wrapping up. Third point. Because you are loved by the King of Kings. All right. You can wait to date. All right. And that is a little nugget of truth right there for you. All right. Because you are loved by the King of Kings, you can wait to date. So, if you've got this foundation built, you're understanding who God has made you to be, and you're discovering that, you understand that you are loved by the King of Kings, you can wait. You're not just seeking after that, desiring it, and you're like counting down the days until you turn 16 so that you can date, or 18, or 40, or whatever, okay? Drive, that's cool, all right? So make sure that your motivation is set in a right way, okay? Now, this is me as your pastor and as your friend, like I said a little bit earlier. I do not think it would be wise at this time of your life to spend time dating. Okay? That's my opinion. Now, if you want me to coach you on that and to give you the thumbs up when I think you're ready, great. But here's what I would do. I would talk with your parents. And I know you're like, oh, I do not want to talk with my parents about this. I understand. Okay? But your parents, however great, however you think they may not be great, your parents have a lot of life experience that will help them to see things that you may not even know are things, okay? You may not be aware of some of the things that they are trying to help guide you through and steer you away from, and they're not doing this to somehow be cruel to you or something like that. It's because they care about you too, okay? They're trying to help you not to get hurt in all the ways that they know you can be, okay? So this is a good point that I want you to understand. If you understand that the Lord loves you so very much, all right, Valentine's Day is all about that, right? All about love. Well, guess what? Valentine was a dude. What? He wasn't some little dude that floated around with wings and shot people with a bow. That's Cupid, okay? And he's fake, okay? He's fake, okay? St. Valentine was a church leader, okay? You can go and look up about him online, or I can tell you all about him, whatever. But basically, okay, today we get to celebrate love, but instead maybe of thinking about it in all these different silly ways that sometimes we do, and good ways and sometimes that we do, let's think about it in the best way, okay? In the way that God has loved us, so that we can have that as our identity. We can go firmly knowing who we are and who loves us unconditionally, not trying to seek that out through someone else. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into groups for about 10 minutes. Here is our question for tonight. since the Bible doesn't talk about dating, how can we wisely think about dating in ways that are honoring to God?